Come on.
What a way to start a show.
Yeah. Stick with us, folks. I swear it's going to get good.
With my Tina grown. Somebody is sharing their screen. I know someone's sharing their screen. I'm sharing my screen. Fine. Stop. Live. Intro.
Hi, this Jesus. Is Mike Ross, public address announcer for your Toronto Maple Leafs.
One thing at a time
this
here.
This is the Leafs Late Night Podcast, your post-game destination. And now, your starting lineup. Roscoe, the Fanalist, Southey, Beaner, and Darty Brodeur on the Leafs Late Night Podcast.
Go. Okay, we back. Hey, this time our break coincides with the Leafs game break. So, sucks to suck. We're on schedule this time. And this time it's three of us. Look at that. We got Southey and Beaner, and it's Roscoe. And Mr. Beaner is rocking all some St. Pat stuff, which is why I want to start with talking about that. Man, you have all the St. Pat's swag going on, eh?
Well, my son's name is Patrick, so.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I get it. I guess the first question I'll ask you is, which one do you like more? Do you like that St. Pat's one or this new Shamrock? Unlock your Shamrock St. Pat's jersey.
Personally, I like the original one, the one I have on, better. It's probably not going to stop me from buying one of those ones, but I do like this one better because it's more accurate to the ones that were worn by the actual St. Pat's.
Fair enough. That's sticking fair. True to the history there. Southey, what do you think of these new ones?
I kind of like the new ones more because the clover is protruding over the flat green line, which I think they should just do without, because if they just had the clover, it kind of resembles the Maple Leafs logo in the middle. And I think that would look so much better than the stupid green stripe right down the middle.
Yeah, I have to agree. I know they're trying to incorporate some more green into it, but it just seems, I don't know, it's not the worst placement for it. Like, if you were to put that stripe anywhere else, I would think it's very out of place. But I don't know, if you're going to put it there, I guess that's the only place. I don't mind the Shamrock. Like, I'm normally very on St. Pat's jerseys. Part of that is because the Leafs seem to be absolutely garbage every time they wear them. But that aside, I haven't normally been a fan of the jerseys. These ones I like. It's kind of in line with the new All-Star jerseys, where it's kind of that Gen Z. How do I put this? Like bubbly, bigger, loud, kind of old. It's almost like going back to 60s, 70s kind of styles, like,
yeah,
almost like flower power type deco. Yeah, I don't know, I like it.
I wouldn't mind if they went back to an actual green one. We've had the white iteration now for,
that'd be fun,
this is like 8 years, right?
Yeah, yeah, maybe back maybe in the green's
late 90s
hard.
Late 90s, early 2000s, they had a dark green one that was just awesome, and the Leafs wore it with brown pants, and
I remember that.
It was awesome.
That's pretty old school. Yeah, I think this is definitely like a new modern take on the St. Pat's, and I think that's, like, if you're going to go all in on that, and maybe next time go for like a historic look with the brown pants and everything, but for what they're going for, I think this works. I hate that they have to throw the milk thing on there for this, even for this ad. Because, like, look, the ones you're buying don't have that on it. So why can't they model the ones that you're buying? Like, is it a rule that if these guys are wearing the jersey, it has to have milk on it?
It's probably somewhere in the contract with the sponsorship, right? Like, the whole reason you're paying that money to put your name on that jersey is because Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner are going to be wearing it.
Oh, they want $300 for these?
That's pretty much going rate anymore, yeah, for a jersey, yeah, with numbers.
Holy moly. A youth one is $200. Yeah, here's the hats.
I'm currently in the process of trying to win tickets for the game on Saturday because Patrick's been bugging me to go to a game. And considering it's a St. Patrick's Day game, it would kind of be fitting for it to be his first game.
I have a lot of stuff here. Yeah, that would be really cool for his first one. This is pretty sick. The Marlies St. Pat's jersey.
How old is Patrick now? Four?
Nope, he's 7. He'll be 8 in August.
Oh, my bad. So we have a nephew, too. Like, we're considering taking him to the 67s game. He's just turning 6. And, like, we think that's a great first experience for him. It's not too much. Yeah. It's like 18,000 for a Sens, or, you know, 14,000, whatever. But, yeah, looking forward to taking him to his first game.
Yeah, I took Patrick to his first live game. When was it? End of September, early October, to a London Knights game. And yeah, he just absolutely loved it.
Really, eh?
Yeah, just had a riot. And then we've been to a couple Brantford Bulldogs games since then. So,
oh, it's so he's good to hear.
Definitely getting a lot more into hockey and wanting to actually watch it, not just asking to stay up so he can play video games.
Our move, too, is to take him to an afternoon game. So if we have to leave in the second or third period, it's not so big a deal.
No, exactly.
Smart, smart. Yeah, and the good thing about being in Ottawa is we get a lot of those afternoon games, eh?
Heyo.
Second tier, baby. Okay, so moving on to the Leafs. Leafs late night, where it's never too late for the Leafs, presented by Inside the Rink. So, you know, how do I put this? I had a whole thing I wanted to... I had a whole smart anecdote to, like, start this off. Here. We say a lot of the time with this team, two periods does not win a hockey game. But tonight, they proved that two periods sometimes does win a hockey game, as long as you make them two really good ones, and you try to make the middle one not that bad. So, that's my takeaway from tonight. Sometimes 40 minutes is enough.
Well, you like to see what they did, because historically the Leafs have been one of those teams that if they get a break or anything like that, they'll throw a stinker, or they'll not show up on time. Like, how many times has that been an accusation of the Leafs, that they didn't show up on time, they didn't show up ready to play, and they're fighting, you know, from behind all night? That wasn't the case tonight. They came out ready to play. They attacked it. They carried the pace pretty much the entire game.
Yeah, like, I mean, even in the second where they weren't playing so hot, they were still at least playing well defensively. They just kind of thought they could get away with turtling for the rest of the game and kind of, oh, well, I mean, we basically scored 4 in the first period. These guys suck. We're that much better than them. Let's just go for a skate for the rest of the night. We've earned it. And, you know, come on, guys, 20 minutes is definitely not enough to win a game. That's just kind of what it seemed like, is they did at least a good enough job not to completely blow the lead, but it was definitely, I think, a little more than they should have let off the gas.
Is that the vibe you got from it?
I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I feel, especially with Mitch Martin out, the cascading effect that they have on the offensive line right now is a lot to get used to, and I thought there was a lot of guys who were going pretty good. They had their chances. I don't feel like they really let up too much in this game, to be quite honest with you. Not to mention that Philly is a team who's just on the wild card cusp right now. Like, they're playing for their playoff lives right now.
That's fair. I mean, I did like Domi and Bertuzzi. I think they had a great game again. I mean, these guys, I've been asking forever. Like, I didn't think, again, we're halfway through March. I was saying, you know, unless Bertuzzi's going to turn it on for March, April, May, we'll see, I guess. And here we are. He turns it on for March, at least. So
Parkin's ass in front of the net for the rest of the year. Just let Matthews bank goals off him.
Oh, my God. Even though that one that didn't count, that tip was disgusting.
I was just going to say, that tip that wasn't allowed. Like, it was so good.
Like, so good.
And what about, like, the fact that Matthews chose pass there and with the absolutely disgusting feet on that first one to Bertuzzi? Like, you know the goalie's always going to be ready.
He knows he's got the hands to actually do that, despite what he's shown us this year, like, in tight. But in the air, he could really tip a puck.
Yeah. Did you see the flex on that stick blade when they slowed it down with the above head angle on the tip in for Bertuzzi's first goal? Like, if it... that was all his strength just to keep that straight with how much that blade flexed. Maybe he should tape it a little bit.
I was going to say, that comes down to the tape, buddy.
He's got like 2 inches of tape on his stick. Yeah.
One little piece on the top. But no, I think, look, they played a really great first period. I just think they got a little comfortable in the second. And then they decided, fuck it, let's just ram these guys in for the third. And it's nice to see. I think every now and then you got to take advantage of the fact that you're you know, feeling it offensively and just instead of sitting on a 3-1 lead, run away with it when you can because you don't get to that often.
You know who you can also thank for that is Samsonov. He made some really big saves at really key opportunities for the Flyers. Since coming back, he's, what, 12-2, 13-2? This guy has been completely unreal. His confidence is through the roof. He's everything that he wasn't before he got sent down.
And it, like, it's what you want to see, right? Like, we talked about when he was first waived, because, like, he didn't really get sent down. He didn't actually go down to the Marlies. He just stayed with the Leafs and worked with the staff.
Yeah, exactly.
But we talked about it, that this is, it's a weird situation and a weird scenario that many teams, aside from the Leafs, probably couldn't do because they wouldn't be able to afford to pay to keep him around, to be able to find himself. And good on the team for being able to do that and for wanting to do that and actually trying to get him to better himself and to salvage his season.
Yeah, and like all like the Marquette sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. I definitely made it seem like I was done there. like for the team going through that with the guy who was your de facto number one last year, like that's just another thing to add to the list of something that can galvanize you going into the playoffs as a team, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like not to mention he's been hearing that Joseph Woll is the next coming all year for how long has it been? And he's just been outplaying him, and he's, I don't know if he's not paying attention to it or he's just rising above it. Like that hasn't affected him whatsoever. And that's, I find all the more impressive.
Yeah.
It's great. I wish that they'd taken the same care in trying to rehab Woll when he came back instead of what seems like a rush to get him back out there. And then as soon as he wasn't great, they went, okay, never mind. And they put Sammy back in. Like I'm glad Sammy's playing well, but now we're at a point where we don't know. We don't have any confidence in our backups. Like Jones wasn't playing great last time we played him. Woll wasn't playing great last time we played him.
I feel like he's played good hockey, but like no one's played consecutive games until Sammy just did tonight. So they've been giving each guy a chance. And I feel like in practice, they've been talking to him like both guys. I think confidence are pretty high right now. I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Fair enough. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the chatter online was that, you know, Woll's cooked. Okay, I'm done with this. He's letting in bad goals. Like we rushed him back too early.
So like, crazy.
That's what everybody always says with the Leafs. Anytime anything just looks remotely human, oh, that's it. Everything's done. The team's trash. Like get rid of everybody.
You get whiplash like, being a Leafs fan online.
100%.
But it is still. You know, everybody was putting faith in once Woll comes back, we're going to be set with, you know, Sammy and Woll. It's going to be fantastic. We've got the tandem together, finally healthy. And then he came back and everybody just kind of felt like, oh, maybe it's not as hype as we have been talking about it while he's been hurt.
But like, I think we are.
People like, just get their expectations up. But
Sammy's playing unreal. Like Woll's been playing pretty good, too. Like, granted, he hasn't had that many opportunities, but given his chance, I think he's going to play great. I think we're in a great position right now, goaltending-wise. Better than we have been in a very long time.
I would agree.
Okay. So there's just a few little things that need to be worked out, which is some injuries, unfortunately. We've still got Marner down. And, oh my God, Yarncroke's shoulder obliterated tonight.
Keith said he's out for a while.
Yeah, dude's played, what, like 5 games, maybe?
Since he got back, yeah.
I hate this.
Me too. He's a good playoff guy too. Like he's someone you wanted to line up at that point.
He was somebody I almost forgot about. He'd been missing so much time this year. And, you know, finally he's back and he was looking great. Damn it. This sucks. He went down so hard. Like that. It's not often that when they show a replay, I actually like have to look away because I can't watch somebody's like, for me, it's knowing the months of rehab or at least weeks of how long and like, you know, years that this is going to hurt afterwards. Like, I just can't watch that happen.
Like his body motion, like it looked like he was doing the hula hoop or something. Like he was just writhing a little bit. So, you know, he was definitely in some pain because that guy is pretty tough.
Yeah. Shit. So he's definitely done for an extended period of time, hopefully back for playoffs, but who knows?
There's an opportunity for a guy like Robertson to come back in, right?
Yep, that's what I was going to get to. It definitely opens up the spot, but you know, we're switching out for somebody with less time this year and less experience in the playoffs. But,
and a different dynamic too. Like, he doesn't play a hard game like Cali can.
Yeah. But that being said, same time,
there hasn't been a single game that I've seen Robertson play this year that I've been like, okay, you know, he needs to get off the ice. Like, the amount of time that he gets played, because Keith never wants to play him, he actually plays great and he's noticeable and he drives, he is effective at driving the play.
And to well, I think point, like, if he's playing hard minutes too, like, he's not getting pushed off the puck either. Like, he's not exceptionally soft on the puck or anything. This might be a good thing. Who knows?
And I think there's a lot less pressure on him now that a lot of the other depth pieces and new pickups are doing better. Like, in the beginning of the season, when nobody was scoring, there was a lot of focus on, okay, well, Robertson, you've been around the longest. You need to put it together or bust. Now that, you know, Domi, Bertuzzi, and even Holmberg, McMahon, like, all these guys are playing well, it kind of takes some pressure off of just him to perform. So maybe it'll be good for him.
Holmberg was playing great tonight, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Oh, man, that release. Weird bounce. Like, this was one of those nights. The Leafs, a lot of the time, are not lucky with puck bounces. This seemed like one of those times where, like, anything they threw in the right spot was going in. And it very rarely feels like that with the Leafs. And, like, this one where it went off of, I think it was a rebound that went up through somebody's skates and right to Holmberg, and he buries it. Like,
even to your point, like,
9 out of 10 times this year, they'd hit the post on that or something.
But maybe 6 out of 10 times they try to make a fancy pass there. Instead, they're just putting pucks towards the net and they're getting traffic in front, and good things have been happening because of it.
Fair enough. Oh, to that, we never talked about the fact that Marner basically injured himself from missing a wide open net and then completing a ridiculous wraparound that turned into a barrel roll and landing on his own leg. Like, I'm sorry, there are ways that you can hurt yourself in hockey. I have never seen that. Like, somebody,
that replay was rough.
Having literally a full wide open net and going, oh, actually, no, I should. Oh, I thought too long. I don't know what I should do. I'm just going to go for a wraparound. Oh, wait, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pull back and go for the shot. Oh, I don't have that either. I don't have my footing. And down. Like, this dude is famous for, like, holding the puck too long and making decisions like 0.5 seconds too late. Like we talked about, he's able to recover it a lot of the time. This one, holy shit, to be able to blow your own leg out like this. Oh, most Leaf thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully he did it when he did. And agreed. Should have plenty of time to get back in.
I hope so. It's just so annoying.
Yeah, don't rush him back. Like, there's no point. We're probably not going to get second place, and we're not going to get fourth place. So we're right where we are right now. Give him time.
Third place Leafs, as always. Yay. Yeah, I think just let him sit. Let him get better. Let's pull some, I don't know, if this had happened a week earlier, pull some cap shenanigans, but... C'est la vie. Oh no, Marner's out till the playoffs. What are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Frees up a lot of money, just saying. other thing that came up tonight that a lot of people wanted us to talk about is the hand pass. Hand pass. So this has been a strange Leaf topic going all the way back to that Morgan Rielly incident with Clayton Keller, I think it was. Anyway. Hand passes are silly, and they always make people go, why is this a rule? I mean, this one was pretty cut and dry. Like, Matthews poked it out with his hand to Bertuzzi, which led to the play that's set up the goal.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, within the, you know, the half a second or 2 seconds before the goal. Like, it was enough before it that it makes people go, okay, like, is this really where we want this implemented? And I think that's what it comes down to. It's not... like what the rule is, it's the spirit of it, you know, like, what are we actually trying to avoid happen? And is this it?
Well, basically it is, because the whole, and you got to think of the wording, right? Hang on a sec. Sorry.
Oh,
the wording of a missed stoppage of play, right? And a hand pass anywhere but the defensive zone is a stoppage of play. Same as a high stick, same as offside, whatever.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get to a point where you couldn't look at a play, and even if it's not directly preceding it, you couldn't look at a play and be like, oh no, there should have been a blown whistle there, and that should have stopped the play, so this goal shouldn't have counted. That being said, with what you're saying, there has been times where it's been like 2, 3, 4 minutes after the fact.
Well, and that's the point. Like, is it, if the whole spirit of it is you don't want a hand pass to create, like somebody passes the puck with their hand to the guy who shoots it in like a very obvious, like a la Matt Duchesne's offside. Like, it's got to be so obvious that it's like, how did we miss that? Like, I feel like that's what most of these rules are in place for. And so you can go back and say, you know, those times when everybody's up in arms, like this needs to be changed. You have the ability to. This seems a little crazy to me because, like, yeah, it's a missed stoppage in play, but you missed it. Keyword missed. Like, it wasn't blown down. The play continued on. Everybody in the game went on as though it didn't happen. If it has to be flagged down by a video coach after the goal is scored, like, literally no one playing cares that this happened. Why is this an overturned goal?
We have an offside challenge. I don't know if there's a high, like, or a hand pass challenge, right? Like, if we're starting to do this, are we going to challenge every little play? Like you said, but I think, like, in the spirit of the rule, and like to what Peter said, if it's going off your hand, if it's a last contact from the puck until the stick, then that's the rule. But yeah, like, I agree with Johnny. Like, we can't be challenging every little thing like this.
Yeah, like, there's so many things where, you know, if a penalty's missed, we don't go back and say, oh, well, the penalty should have been called there. Exactly, so we're going to go back and change. Calling,
like, going back for trippings or, like, hookings or anything like that, because that's a slippery slope.
Like, it just seems like we're going back in time because there was a mistake made by somebody, by officials that absolutely cannot make any mistakes unless...
Human element. They, that's like, why we have human rights.
Exactly.
Reps.
Exactly. Thank you. So I understand that, like, it was called as per the rules, and this is how it is always called, but that's kind of beside the point. It's like Elliot Friedman made a comment. I couldn't find it. I wanted to pull the actual quote up, but I remember on 32 Thoughts, I think it was either before this season or last season, but he said that the NHL was looking to have less goals called back. Like, they want more goals to happen and less things to interfere with goals being scored. And I have yet to see that happen. Like, there's been way too many things called back for reasons that are...
Or just limit, like, the ones you can do. Like, I get the offside one, and if that's what you want to do, then keep it at that. The rest, tough shit. If it's called on the ice, that's what it is. Goaltender, like, interference aside.
Was this a coach's challenge, or did the refs go back and...
Coach's challenge.
Yeah. That's there lies in the problem, right? Like,
see, that's what I have a problem with, is like, if we're just challenging the fact that a whistle should have been blown at some point that would have changed when this goal had been scored, like, what are we doing?
Or unless, like, you want to do like what the NBA does in the last 2 minutes, it's an automatic review for stuff like this, but other than that, it shouldn't be up for debate.
Yeah, like, first period of a game for a team that's already down like that, I don't know. I get that it's kind of the difference between them being, you know, writing off the rest of the game essentially or not, but come on, I don't know. That's my piece on that. And that's because Scott in our Discord asked about it. And it took me a while to come up with how I felt about it, because, like you guys said, it is how it's called. I don't know. I don't
like
it.
But if you called it on the ice, it would have been fine. It's just the review, like the coach's review. That's where it gets a little hazy.
Yeah, exactly. If it had been called in the moment, it's the call as the rule is. But if it's a missed stoppage, like, come on, we're not. Don't talk to me about that. We have a lot of questions tonight. Do we want to go to those and see if we get anywhere from that?
Sure.
Misadventures, Classic Isles. Opinion on the new St. Pat's jersey. Well, we gave it to you. Thanks for asking. Ken27 Kiliconda at Kilgore Ken. Does Willie have two giveaways for each goal? It seems worse to me. Is there a stat? Yeah, I was praising his penalty killing, maybe not his penalty killing, but just the ability to have him as a little offensive weapon. tonight was not that on the penalty kill for him. He wasn't great there. Gave up that one.
It's a wicked progress.
Yeah. Look, he's better defensively this season than he was. He's been scoring more this season than he was. I think he earned most of the contract he was signed to. So, look, I think this guy's only going to get better defensively, like we've seen with Matthews. The more he works on it, the more he's comfortable with.
If you're not going to use him in these type of games, like, where are you going to use him? Like, this is where he's going to get better.
Exactly. When you lose Marner, like, who's the next up? He has to be able to take those spots. So, Canadalorian, who's playing with Matthews and Marner game one? Beaner, I'll let you take this one first.
Well, it's at this point, you're probably looking at Mitch and Bert.
Yeah, I was going to say it's probably Bertuzzi, but Sadi, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, if you're betting, Bertuzzi's probably your odds-on favorite. Nyes, it's got to be second right there, right?
Because I don't know, Nyes, Bertuzzi, with Cance, and so McMahon have been a really good third line.
You're very right about that, too. You know what would have been interesting? If we had a little more faith in a guy named Robertson this year and put him up on that lineup. I would love to see what he could have done on first line.
In another timeline, he's there, you know? Like, in another world where a couple things don't happen and a couple things happen differently, he's right there. But it's just wasn't in the cards for this kid.
Yeah.
And for the record, Nylander's at 37 giveaways this year.
Okay, so, I mean, almost as many goals. What does he have, 35 goals?
He's at 35 goals, yeah.
Okay. Well,
not every giveaway is a goal. So let's
61 takeaways, 37 giveaways.
How many giveaways does Matthews have versus goals?
How many giveaways have led to a goal? Let's be real here for a second, too.
I don't know if Edge would show that. I might have to dig into that a little deeper.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to... NHL.com apparently doesn't show giveaways. I had to go to Money Puck.
Oh.
What a surprise. NHL.com doesn't show something negative.
But yeah, you got to think, I guess Bert's going to play on that top line, right?
Yeah, I assume so. I mean, it's crazy that if you'd asked me 2 months ago, I'd probably say Nyes, but now it's kind of almost no question it's going to be Bertuzzi with how he's been playing.
If he parks himself in front and, like, Marner's digging pucks out to Matthews and Matthews is shooting pucks at the net and he's just right in front, that's a perfect trio.
Yeah. We have a question here from a very special birthday boy, Mikey D. Happy birthday, Mikey. If the core five was candies, chocolates, chewies, sour, anything, which candies would they be? So chocolate, gummies, sour. Ugh. What else are we saying? Like pretzels and chips, and then like what's another thing?
Ice cream, maybe.
Sure. Okay. So what are we giving Matthews?
We think too much with this question.
I know. Nylander is the sour candy for sure.
Yeah, because at first it's going to hit you a little bit hard, but eventually it's nice.
Yeah. I would say Marner is probably the chewy, like Swedish berry kind of candy.
Sweet, but really good. Matthews is chocolate because he's sexy and everything he does is just so elegant.
Matthews has to be like a Reese cup or something that's guaranteed to like be amazing.
It hits every time, right?
Crowd pleaser. Yeah.
Yeah.
Domi's like, what were those old ones, like gobstoppers or something that was crazy tough and hard on the outside and then super sweet on the inside?
Yeah.
It's like Domi, just it's filled with cocaine instead of sugar. Because as soon as you get to it, you're just gone.
Instead of $1, they're $100, yeah.
Tavares, I would say, is like chips and pretzels. You know, just...
Yeah, plain chips.
Classic.
Yeah.
Plain chips.
Can't go wrong with them.
Yeah, you can put them out at any party. And it's like, you know what? This works.
Yeah. Bertuzzi's like a couple... They're going to keep working.
Bertuzzi's a couple M&Ms that you found in the backseat of your car when you're cleaning it out.
An M&M, a Skittle here and there. You never know what you're going to get when you put them in your mouth.
One of them's an unmarked pill.
Yeah. There might be an ecstasy pill in there too, yeah.
And then Morgan Riley, what are we giving him?
He's like a Twizzler. It's not Ooh. Not amazing, not horrible, but, you know, comforting.
Yeah, you can go to it.
Been around, you know. Every now and then you're like, hey, you know what? I gotta go for the nibs.
They're pretty good, yeah.
I had some nibs when I saw Dune 2 the other day. Nibs are banging.
Did you get one of the popcorn buckets?
I wanted one so bad, and they didn't have them. And I was like, what is all this for? What are we doing here?
That's if
I
terrible.
Can't, if I can't get the worm popcorn bucket, what has all of this been about?
If you can't order popcorn with a sex toy on top, like...
Why did I watch
What's this world come
five
to?
And a half hours of this no dumb shit. Space opera today? Because I hadn't seen the first one until that morning.
I watched wanted to invest Dune... that much time, I'd watch Star Wars.
Oh, dude, I felt like I watched 6 hours of Phantom Menace, I swear to God. Anyway, was this Leafs win, or was this the Leafs' birthday present for Mikey D from Ryan Willey? Hell yeah.
Yeah, of course it was.
They knew, they heard all of us just praying into the blue ethos for...
He never really had to worry about it, he was just enjoying it the whole time. Like, how often does that happen with Leaf games?
Yeah.
Matthew's getting a 40 even strength goals for the second season 100%. In a row.
Fucking gross.
Or for the second season in his career, sorry.
Labushkin got hurt but came back.
Twice.
And then got hurt again.
Got hurt again.
This guy's a warrior. Okay, let's talk about this for a split second. Everyone's shitting on this pickup, but I feel this guy's skill set is a little bit better than when he was here the first time. And he proved on that last play, like, he's willing to take the hit, to sacrifice, to make a play. This is game, what? There's like 16 games left? This is not the playoffs. He's still making this type of play. That's sending a clear message to everybody in this room that this is what it takes to win. And I'm so glad we have him on our team right now.
Yeah, it's funny. He feels like one of those players that, you know, when the Leafs turn somebody into a more serviceable NHL player than they were when they got them, and then we just let them run off into the league somewhere else. This is one of the only times where we've gotten one back within, like, they're still being in that upswing. So, like, the Leafs gave him a higher, what's the word? An increased role. With playing with Morgan Riley the first time he was here, and then they ship him out, and so he's used to playing those bigger minutes, gets known for that, he plays more and more, gets more responsibility, and now he's back here again. Like you said, he's better than he was last time. I'm just hoping that he's not leaving every game every time he gets hit because he's so banged up.
Save it a little bit for the playoffs, but like you can tell when he goes to the bench, like he's hanging down, he's just, you know, recouping a little bit, but like every guy goes and gives him a pat. Like it, what he is doing means a lot to this team.
Yeah, and he's had a couple nice plays offensively too. I mean, there was the one last game I mentioned where he was diving to save one at the line to keep a play alive that ended up in a goal. So yeah, he's making it work. Look, he's not the partner for Riley that we need long term. But he's at least a experienced defenseman that's familiar with the team, that's playing well, that can throw hits. Yeah, exactly. Responsible. So,
don't hate it. Beaner?
No, and you guys really said it all there. Like, we didn't have to give up a ton for him. He's not like the all-star that everybody wanted, but at the same time, he's not Justin Hall, so we can plug him into the lineup and not be afraid every time he's out on the ice.
Mm-hmm. How is Hall's he doing?
Yeah, I don't care. He's not on the Leafs.
Yeah, I could care less about that guy, man.
Ooh.
Of he's all, only like, played Leafs players
seven games
traveled on, I really don't give two shits about the guy whatsoever.
I'm just interested, you know? For him, because people were defending him so much, I just want to see, like, okay, prove it to me. Like, what has he been doing? When was his last game, even? Because it looks like he's only played 37 games this year.
He was very much on the block at the end of the year, and no one took him.
No, Detroit had a whole whack of healthy defenders to start the season, so they were healthy scratching guys, just alternating. Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, you play one, sit one, play one, sit one, play two, sit two type thing.
See what you got.
He didn't play through all of February.
So he might have picked up an injury.
Anyway, he's only got 5 assists on the year and is a, what is that, a minus?
He's just a Russian player. Like, he'll have a great penalty kill, and then he'll just make this bonehead decision that will inevitably lead to a goal. So if he's doing almost one of those per game, you can't have that on your back line.
Yeah. Anyway, just checking in on where are they now. Question from Living the Best Life, TML Fan and Van. Marty asks, what's your favorite color?
Saturday, it's going to be green.
To overthink the question, I mean, it's been...
Purple.
Yeah, purple. What shade?
Like a nice dark purple.
Like a royal...
Like a Lakers purple?
Yeah, Lakers purple. Whatever Jimi Hendrix is fucking singing about. Purple haze. Great purple.
Yeah. Nice.
I like... blue. I like dark blue before. I don't know. I guess I just grew up around my dad having Leaf stuff around. Just gotten lots of blue. But lately I've been getting into green as for my own wardrobe. I like greens lately.
Really?
Nice. Yeah.
Green's hard to pull off.
Not when you're a redhead, baby.
This is true. You're constantly Christmas colors with green.
One of the few things I can do. I can't wear red or yellow or orange, but I can wear green.
That's brown. I was
always like a dark blue, like a Leaf blue. Yeah. As a kid, I hated orange for some reason. I don't know why. Like I despised orange. I'm over
watch
that
your
now.
Mouth.
Watch.
Lately, I love like lime green, everything, like the brighter, more in your face green, the better.
Like green screen color.
Even more vibrant.
Oh.
Like I found a shirt when we were up at the cottage last year that it almost hurts your eyes to wear it.
Oh, buddy.
And I loved it, and it actually looked great. But anything I have that's a lighter color typically ends up getting some sort of stain. I am a mechanic, so oil and grease oozes out of my skin.
As you let us know in our group chat, Peter made the big decision of making a tan hat. He was quite concerned about it.
I couldn't. I saw it at Lids, and I liked it, and I didn't get it because of the color. And then I kicked myself in the ass for 3 months, so I had to go find one online somewhere.
I need to get a new Leafs hat, and I need you guys to help me pick one because I dug one out, and it is so gross and yellow from all the years I've worn it. And my other one is too small. So
I've washed this one several times, and it still has a unique stink that is hard to describe. But my girlfriend absolutely hates it, and I don't want to disappoint her anymore. So same with Johnny. If you can pinpoint us to a nice new hat, let's do that.
Because I was it Lids? No, it was like some sports like memorabilia store that's in the mall across the street from me. I was looking around, and they only had two styles. They always only have two, and I know there's so many out there, but there's so many shitty ones too.
So this can get into a bigger conversation, and I love how we get into some of the most random shit on our episodes. For at least 10 years, I've complained that the Leafs never have any good hats. Like, they really don't.
They don't. Like, of all like the major sports teams especially, their hats are very much lagging.
Like, my previous go-to, hang on a sec here.
Ooh, the dramatic effect. People who can't see this.
Yeah, this is great for people that are just listening.
Beater has stepped off and grabbed their hat.
Visual.
Sorry, it's the Winter Classic one from 14.
Oh, nice.
That's a great one because that looks like it's from like the early 1900s, right? Like,
and that was like the best hat. I had one, was wearing it on our honeymoon, lost it down in Mexico, and had to source out another one.
Yeah, absolutely sick hat. Great hat.
But yeah, I've never been happy with Toronto hats. And then that's why I was kicking myself that I didn't buy the one I've got on when I first saw it. Because you don't see something like that too often with the Leafs, how it's like a fancy, nice, like letters for the name, right?
No, because like Toronto's a pretty long name to put on the front of a hat. But if you have it done tastefully, just the right font and size, it really works.
Yeah.
Here's a quick look-see. See, like, I don't mind this for the same reason. It's kind of that...
That's logo. Like, I think all their logo hats are not too bad, because you can't go too wrong with them, but...
What the hell is this? What is this?
That's what Matthews is wearing post-game.
I don't hate it. I kind of like it, actually.
They have it in this, too. Authentic pro training camp hat. Oh, how about so
you ordered me one, Johnny?
Yeah, they're on sale. It's their actual, like, they got these for training camp?
Mm-hmm. They typically do that every year. They'll have a hat they come out with for training camp, a hat they come out with for playoffs.
This is so ugly. This Aretinas one, the color. What is this shade of blue? This is the other thing, is they can't decide on what shade of blue they use.
If they just stuck with it, like, if you like, look at any New York Yankees hat, it's always the same shade. Like, it's always the same.
I'm looking at, like, this is different from this, is different from all of these.
All of them. What's that black and signatured one? That's terrible.
Yeah, this is some Mitchell and Ness one. I don't know. It's horrible.
Ugh.
I don't mind this, like, loud toque one, but I'm not looking for it. Yeah. I don't. And what is this with the splash? What are we doing? These are, and this stripe is horrible. What is this placement of the logo? Oh my lord! And look at this. This looks like it was made at like your local print shop.
For first day employee.
Yeah, you asked them to just type Toronto Maple Leafs on the front of a hat you bought from Giant Tiger. Like what?
No, I'm not spending $26. Yeah, we can do that. No, they can't.
What are... Dude, you've opened a can of worms. I didn't realize. This looks like it's out of a beer case that says Molson on it.
Thanks a lot,
beer. Like,
we're going deep down this rabbit hole now.
Bro, these hats are terrible.
I'm telling you.
Oh, the toque is great.
This thing's sick. The all-star.
Yeah. The one on the down left, too. He had drunk in that
one. Wait till you get to the tropical one.
I don't mind this.
You're familiar with this, are you?
Oh, my God. It's Roscoe washed. That's so funny. I want this. It's got the string on it. I want this one. I don't like it, but it's got my name on it. This is hideous. With the palm that's leaves.
That's the tropical one I was talking about, yeah.
Tropicalia, also, like the embroidered line trucker. Right on the beak is terrible.
What the
I hate
oh
that.
Oh my god, this looks like they're trying to do the Raptors like font. I don't.
Yeah, it's,
who designs these?
It's when you're snowboarding in like Florida or Hawaii. You wear that one.
Oh, I don't mind the corduroy one.
Eh.
These are so
that light
strange.
Blue, white, and black one there is brutal.
Yeah, this is horrible. It looks like it's music
rough.
Notes
that's a rough
on like
one.
A. And what's this like? It looks like a shoelace.
Yeah, that's
guys,
talking about. That thing on the top, like, top of the beak is so terrible.
Does this say Leafy?
Yeah, it does. Maple Leafy.
I think it's what? Supposed to be a cursive S.
That says...
No.
Are you... I think it is, but it looks like Leafy and no... That someone printed that and they let that go into production. This is crazy. And if you're just listening to this, go to Fanatics like, and just go to the Maple Leafs hats section. Like these... It is... absolutely appalling how bad.
And this is not like a commentary on Fanatics, who are absolutely the worst fucking company in the whole world, but yeah.
What is this shark tooth? I'm sorry. Mitchell and Ness, you've got some really nice and really ugly designs on some of these. These are crazy. Come on. What is this white
we're
girl?
We're sorry for deep diving this far.
Yeah, okay, I'm done. This is
I gotta pull you
insane.
Out of this rabbit hole, Roscoe.
But this is the point. This is why we're asking for your help. Friends don't let friends buy ugly Leafs gear.
Can we spend 10 minutes on like crowdsourcing the hat for me and you?
No, it was like 3.
That's a good option.
We'll
show you in the comments later.
Okay, so I guess let's give a point to this whole discussion. The whole, like, we've been waiting for the PWHL to launch, you know, the jerseys and the logos and everything, because everyone wants branding, everyone wants to spend money and support the team. needs to be tightened up. Like, there needs to be more oversight by somebody on gear that is being put out under this Leafs brand on Fanatics website, which is now the official where you get all your shit. Like, they gotta have some sort of cohesive style and not just throw out like Walmart level stuff that, like, literally I can go to Walmart for $5.99. Oh man, yeah.
I don't want to get started on that rabbit hole, but like, at least the NHL stuff is not nearly, like, not even half as bad as the MLB.
Yeah, at least you're not, when there's a fight on the ice, you don't see the guy's dick and balls swinging back and forth in his fucking pants. Like,
exactly. Or you can't read his name on the back of the jersey.
Yeah. It's just...
Speaking of names on jerseys...
I wish there was more oversight and, like, management to this side. Speaking of jerseys, go ahead.
Speaking of names on jerseys, good on Molson. You see what they did for the PWHL?
Hell yes.
Names on the bottom?
Yeah. So they the whole part of, like, the whole campaign is that for years the players' names have been hidden by their hair if they have long hair and their ponytail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
great commercial they had for it, yeah.
Yeah, the advertising, we'll hide our name so you can see theirs, right? Like, good on them. That's such a clever marketing campaign, and it works.
It works for, like, both the league and, like, the company too, right? Like, and, like, a little furthermore, every time I go out to, like, a bar or, like, a restaurant, they're always playing PWHL games. It's all that's going on. Like, they're having such a good inaugural year. It's insane.
Did you hear about Debbie Harrison, the super fan who was asking for, she said, like, Crayola needs a new color, PWHL purple. And Crayola Canada put out Power Play purple.
Nice.
So they're like, it's our unofficial PWHL color. So... We didn't what do you think?
Like, do they come up all with new, like, logos and everything for next year, or is this
going to continue on? The plan is that they're working on that, yeah. That with how rushed everything was, because realistically, yeah, they said they were doing this in, like, June and July.
Yeah, like,
so the fact that they started the league in January is mind-boggling.
Yeah, that they pulled it together in itself is unreal.
The fact that they're announcing rules, like, mid-season.
Yeah, that being said, though, I really think they should have paid some respect and homage to some of the teams that were successful, like the Boston Pride, for instance.
Yeah,
that area of Boston, the black and gold colors, like, everybody, that's not, like, that is hockey in the Boston area. 100%. And the Pride had the best attendance records. They were a great team. Like, you could have kept with that. The Toronto Six. People seem to love that name in the area. The jerseys were good. You know, they were a successful team. You could have kept that. So I don't think you had to completely start new with everybody. But
I think maybe we'll be surprised. Because if you're starting this whole new league, you want to give everybody the same chance. Give them 1 year to figure out what they're going to do for this and just uniformly come out as the same. I think if you had a couple teams with logos and some with not, that would have been a bigger issue than what we're dealing with right now.
Well, and not to diminish the other leagues that have come before this one, but, like, the talk of the PWHL has been, like, finally we have a cohesive women's professional league. Like, I feel like if you were carrying over the names from those other leagues, it would almost, like, people would easier brush it off as still something that they knew existed that they weren't already paying attention to, they feel like they're behind on. I feel like when you start from scratch, everybody feels like they're starting from square one together, fans and players alike. So you get to, you know, start cheering for something from ground zero instead of, like, having, you know, maybe fans coming over from a team from the past or, like, you know, like you said, the Boston Pride or Toronto Six. Like, if all of their fans come over, it might be a little hard for people in Toronto already to feel like they can get involved with the team because it's kind of gatekeepy. Like, oh, you weren't here from the beginning. Like, we're here from the old time. Like,
even Minnesota too. Like, they don't have that much history compared to all the other original six teams. So, like, what are they going to do, really?
Yeah, I think just even the playing field and make everybody feel like it's their league now from the start. But yeah, I'm interested to see how the branding and everything goes because they've done a better job than the NHL of being current with everything and taking risks and, you know, not being tied down by, you know, the 100 years of history and rules and stuff. So I'm hoping that means that we see some jerseys closer to, like, those fun ones that you shared from some of the junior leagues where, you know, there's less strict rules on what the jerseys can look like.
Because, I don't know. Like, this is their chance to set the precedence and have their history to be made from what they, like, what this decision comes from. So
right.
it's a pretty big decision.
Right, like how much can you do the Leafs or the Philadelphia Flyers jerseys versus you know, starting from square one with
this is a whole new thing.
PWHL Toronto. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna buy some stuff. I again would love just to bring it back to what I was talking about before with the gear, we've seen so many artists Joey Ferg puts out fantastic Leafs gear. Shout out. Like every time something happens the fact that every time something happens meme-wise, I guess you could say, like anytime there's a current going on with the team, he's quick to put something out. And I think that's important. And the team should be doing something like that. He's filling a hole that the team is lacking on, right? Like if, you know, they were jumping on everything that happened with the team as it happens, that the fans are tuned into and putting out merch that coincides with it, they would make a killing, but they don't. They just put out this, you know, copy and paste garbage. Like this Buds jersey I have with the Matthews stuff from Casey Bannerman, like when the Vancouver Canucks do their Indigenous and Pride and all their different jerseys, they have different artists design them. Like I feel like there's so many people out there that are doing better work than the people that these teams are actually, not even the teams are employing, but who they're hiring
for these decisions, right? Like
exactly. Like who is doing this? Like who is okaying all of these and sending it out on the Fanatics website? Like how much oversight does the NHL actually have over this? Like, are they just signing it off to these guys? Did they realize how much it was going to diminish their brand value by, you know, having Fanatics just put all, like there's like 60 different hats from the Leafs on their site. Like this is insane. Ugh.
Yeah.
Annoyed. And not a single, like, you know, thing about Boreas Alming that you can buy, and not a single, you know, fun William Nylander shirt you can get. Like, there's, it's just
or a fucking Jay Beaner shirt. Like, where is this?
I know, but yeah, I think it's crazy that they don't have any fun with it. It's just all lame designs.
When I see that, I think that's the key word there is they don't really have fun with it. Like, there's been too much of the old white man running everything, and they're so afraid of kids or the younger generations, you don't even have to really say kids, getting involved and ruining their idea of the sport. And it's like the game's not around for the 50-60-year-olds anymore. Like that's not where it's going. I love the history of the sport and I respect it as much, if not more, than anybody I've ever met, but there's a reason those happened in the past and players don't play like that anymore because we're evolving.
Like we don't still live in caves. Like you can respect what happened before and still look forward to what's going to happen and like be a part of that movement.
Yeah. Like next gen night is a good sentiment, but it has to be more than like one night every 4 months, you know, like they got to try to incorporate more things to bring in a younger crowd. They got to pay more attention to the branding and the advertisements. And I know, look, if you've been a fan of the show for a while, I probably care more and am more interested in the business of the sport and the broadcasting and everything than I am of the actual product on the ice. And I apologize. I get really into these kinds of things.
We balance each other out.
That's exactly it, you know? So that's my two cents and what I wanted to get in there.
That's like why the Wings have something like great on their hands. They have this unique, original branding opportunity that they can all do for themselves right now. So yeah. It's super interesting to see what they're going to do.
Yep, Hundo P. Anything else? We're just under an hour here.
What are we thinking for the Leafs on the rest of the way out of the season?
What is the schedule like?
What are we hoping for here?
Health.
Yeah, that's the thing, because we're probably not going to get second place, and we're not going to get fourth place, so Jesus
Hurricanes,
Christ.
Hurricanes, Flyers, Capitals.
Stay healthy, please.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you can really ask for right now.
Two games against the Canes, two games against the Caps.
It's not a super easy lineup,
like, going
forward. It's pretty nasty. You've got a couple of games against the Panthers, a couple of games against the Lightning, the Red Wings,
another
Devils.
Against the Flyers.
Yeah,
a couple of doubles. Three games against the Devils.
Our scheduling is very weird this year.
last two games are Lightning and Panthers, which I do kind of like because it means that they're going to finish the year in playoff mode instead of
getting... I'd fucking sooner play the Marlies.
Like, yeah, you'd rather take, like, the Coyotes in the last game of the season than the Lightning.
Oh, I'd rather not play, like, any of my fucking top-tier players and just go into the playoffs.
But the Lightning aren't either, right? But I think it gives you a chance. I don't know. I guess if they don't, then it doesn't matter. But if
you're almost certainly playing Boston, right? So let's just not get anybody hurt. Last two games are going to, if you're not ready by then, you're not going to be ready. So
my sucks is realistically, it's all East teams and they've been shit against the East this year. That's what worries me.
Realistically, we're not dropping into a wild card and yeah. We're not getting first.
Exactly.
So there is a possibility you could get second, but the chances of that are slim to friggin' none. And at this point, we don't even really know who we're playing. Florida and the Bruins are only separated by a point.
Yeah.
So realistically, we could play either of them. And I mentioned on the last episode, at this point, I don't even really care who we play. I'm still going to obviously be cheering and think the Leafs have a chance because you do have a chance against anybody.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested to see what happens with the wild card races. The fact that Tampa is this close to potentially not making it. Like, that's something that's a little surprising.
That's
They're tied with Philly for third in the Metro. Third in the Metro last night too,
like heavily to Buffalo. So they're like their spot's not secure whatsoever either.
Well, Tampa's in the Atlantic, Roscoe. So they would have to bump the Leafs out. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Is like they're tied with like the 76 points with the Flyers. So I mean, as long as they can stay above the Islanders and Red Wings, like I don't see them falling behind either of those teams unless they absolutely fall apart, but it's close. The
wild card race is going to be so close.
What's the West look like? West is pretty close too.
Yeah, Vegas has a 4-point lead over Minnesota for the last wild card spot.
I hope Vegas does it in the last wild card spot.
Yep.
Yeah, but like Minnesota's 4 points behind them. St. Louis is 6 points behind them. Like they have a pretty good gap.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary's shit. They're not gonna make it. Fucking Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary's sold. They're done.
Yeah, Vegas is pretty safe. Unless like Minnesota goes on a heater. I don't think St. Louis can do it. What I really wish we had was the 1-8 playoff format, but that's probably for another podcast.
I mean, last time we checked it, it didn't change who the Leafs played.
Yeah, no, we have checked it. I do agree. I like that better. To be honest, I think it would be fun to do a 1-16, but there's a lot of travel complaints about that one.
Or even like a play-in game or something for like the lower teams.
How about the KHL? I mentioned in the group chat. So the first round's over. So the second round, you cross conferences.
That's interesting. That's a lot of like travel.
The KHL it kind of takes away from like conference
games in the regular season, though, doesn't it?
Yes and no. I like the fact, like, yet again with the history of the game, I think there's something to be said for the fact that despite where the teams are, like right now and what you think of the teams, at this point with the current format, you will never, ever again see a Toronto-Montreal Stanley Cup final.
No, but do you need to?
The possibility's there.
But I don't think that's in the spirit of what like any professional sports championship is. It's like, who is the best, like, out of each conference, you know, if we've split each of these sports into two, it's who's the best out of each one. Like, I don't think it...
I agree with that, too. It goes against... Like, geography alone, like, you're never going to have a Toronto-Montreal final. But a conference final would be just as good, I think.
The last time there was a possibility for Toronto-Montreal final was 93. the year Bettman took over because of the way the divisions and everything were. Now, that being said, if you look at it the other point, what are sports? Sports entertainment. What would be more entertaining? Having a final that could be Toronto-Montreal or, I guess, Detroit-Colorado doesn't work anymore because Detroit's back in the East. But, or you could even say Detroit-Boston or New York-New York.
I feel like the possibility to have historians in both of us agree that that would be amazing, but maybe the present audience wouldn't agree as much. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, like TV ratings for a Toronto Montreal final would be a million times better than a Toronto St. Louis final.
But to me, that's the conference final, though.
Yeah,
that's the whole point. Is like you're battling between like Toronto Montreal conference final is to go to the Stanley Cup. Like that's what the battle is. Like that would be the highest.
Then everything's spent at that point. You get to that high of not that necessarily. Hardcore.
You're talking about like
series.
Two of the biggest fan groups in the whole NHL. So if you go to the NHL and if Montreal's in there or Toronto's in there, your numbers are going to be astronomically bigger than they have been in the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's
The last kind of Montreal final, probably.
I think the only reason that it skews this way is because it's just a fact that the Eastern Conference teams have more of a fan base by number, I think, than the Western Conference teams do, like on average. So like it's more likely that a matchup between two Eastern Conference teams is going to be more of a historic, bigger fan base matchup than unless you're like Toronto and Edmonton. And even then it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's Toronto, Vancouver again. Like, there's a couple matchups there that would still be.
So never mind the crossover. Like, NBA goes 7-10. They have a play-in tournament. How would you feel about that? The NHL doing that?
Hockey is such a different game for one-off.
Because it is games, though. Is it a 2 out of 3 or is it one-off?
I think it's 2 or 3.
I
think it is.
Playing stuff, I've never been able to get behind it personally. Because then you're diminishing all the work you did in the regular season.
Best you can do is 7th place, then that's on you. Like,
because then you go from 7-10, right? So that could be a pretty big gap too, depending on the season.
And I think it adds more excitement and more opportunity for fans to stay engaged longer, because I think the problem with the format of the NHL playoffs is fans start to check out like pretty early. I mean, look, the Chicago Blackhawks are already mathematically out of the playoffs.
It adds revenue too. Like if you're adding an extra 3 games possibly for a couple teams, then
yeah. I think in hockey, the question of injuries comes up by adding extra games like that. Also, it's games that players aren't paid for because it's postseason. You have to negotiate it with them again. But I think as far as fans and entertainment and selling the sport goes, it's adding games at an important time, and it's adding games for teams that would otherwise just be waiting for next season.
Yep. Peter strongly disagrees.
Yeah. I still don't like the whole play-in idea.
Not
the season.
I like it more. I kind of find it's interesting what the NBA is doing with this right now, especially with leagues that have 32 teams, and you're talking about maybe have 34 teams or something like that. So maybe more than half the teams are not making the playoffs. Do you have your regular season winners move on and everyone plays around it to get to them? It's a very, very interesting thing like we're going through right now.
Yeah, I think the next CBA needs to include an overhaul of the playoff format, because I think there's been a lot of complaints about this current one. I mean, look, if we're going Eastern Conference 1-8, the Leafs would play the Carolina Hurricanes. It's now pretty different. Last time we checked, it would have been exactly the same. But
so, Beener, mm-hmm. you're commish. What are you doing with this league for playoff formats?
Well, for playoff formats? Oh, okay. I honestly, I would love to do 1-16. give it a shot. Just for the pure chaos factor.
Just like a March Madness type of thing, right? Like anything can happen.
So your first round would be the Florida Panthers versus Minnesota Wild.
Too much travel there.
Boston Bruins versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Aside, that would be a tough series. Like Vancouver, Tampa. Like these would be great series. New York, Golden Knights.
Oh,
Kings and Avalanche.
I don't disagree.
Oh, you're going
crazy.
Cross conference?
Oh yeah, 1-16. Like,
oh my god.
That's what I mean. The travel's
you're a
insane.
Madman. A madman.
Although the funny part is, Toronto would play Carolina.
you can't have a great juggernaut in the first, like in the regular season, play fucking Tampa Bay 16 plays. You can't have that.
Tampa's in 14th right now.
You said, was it Vancouver versus Tampa? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
No.
But aside from that, what are you gaining for being a good regular season team then? Like, really?
That you're playing a lesser opponent. But in the format right now, it is
in the 1-16 format. Yeah, you'd be playing a lesser opponent
in the divisional format too, especially like yeah.
Like right now, you're saying that Boston's reward for being the second best team in the conference is to play the Leafs.
No, I
get what you mean mathematically. It does bump your opponent down a whole 8 spots when you're in first place, essentially.
But why not go 1-8 for conference? Like it always has been.
That's probably the only way they would ever change it away
I feel
from
it's
the divisional.
A little closer than what we're doing right now. And without being like as wild as your proposal, which is like hell of a lot of fun. Vegas would make a shitload of money off it. I'm sure Bet would be super thrilled.
Well, like the underdog stories, everything, the pure chaos,
yeah,
the random
story,
rivalries
yeah.
that you could. Yeah. And then you would have the fact that you could legitimately face any team in any round. So there's not going to be an absolute of no, you'll never play this team unless you make the cup final, or you'll never play this team in the cup final, right? It could
that
literally be anywhere.
It's very, very interesting. Because like, if you're talking about like, travel, it's really not big of a deal. Like these guys are taking private birds. It's going to take a couple hours. They're flying in comfort. It's not that big of a deal, really.
And like, it was a couple seasons ago. We knew we were playing Tampa, or was it last year? We knew we were playing Tampa by like November,
December. Yeah,
we're almost in the same boat right now.
And
like
then
we're playing Florida,
you can
or
basically
Boston.
Start.
We're locked in.
Yeah. So if you have that greater discrepancy in points when you're talking 1-16 instead of the top three in the division, it can change day to day who you're going to play.
My counter argument is just the same one that I had before, that like if the regular season isn't going to be that much cross conference play, then it's hard to justify making the playoffs so heavily based on like the Leafs played Colorado twice through the regular season and now we're going to play them for a 7 series like immediately in the playoffs round one. Like that's
it does
I think that
kind of
goes against
like divisional rivalries, which is what this format actually promotes. So yeah, that is for sure an argument.
Yeah, like I don't want to play. Say the Sens or Montreal are back in the playoff running again. I don't want to play them like 8 times throughout the season to not face them at all through a playoff run, just because of the way that the randomizer shook out.
But we don't play them 8 times throughout the season anymore. I think 6. We played the I think we're playing the Habs like 3 times this friggin' year.
3 times this year.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's usually 4.
Like it's yeah that it we don't see the teams 7-8 times a season anymore.
Well, then I guess if I'm commissioner, that's the difference that I make is more plays within divisions and like make the playoffs more about the best of each of those. Like if the playoff format is you come out of your groupings and it's the best of those groupings, then make it that. If it's not that, then abandon that. It seems that we're somewhere in the middle where like divisions and conferences throughout the season don't matter that much. And then as soon as we hit the playoffs, it's like, okay, everybody get in your groups. I forget what group I'm in. We haven't talked about this in a while. Am I with you guys? Like,
I feel like Atlantic and even like Eastern Conference rivalries, they still mean something. And to your point, like if you're battling all season long, even for playoff position, you want to meet these guys in the playoffs, whether it's first, second, or third round to get to where you want to go. So I do kind of agree with that style still.
Yeah, I mean, if it's about storylines and you know, finishing rivalries and finishing the story that's been going on all season with, like, okay, we've both been fighting to get to the playoffs. And, you know, like the Leafs and Sens in the first round, like if that happens again, like that's going to be crazy. So I don't want to throw that away for, oh, you know, the Leafs came in fourth, so we're playing Calgary in the first round. Like, I don't know. We don't have that much of a beef with them. Because we don't play them because they're in the West.
But we did. Like, and I'm looking at it from a history standpoint as well. You can pretty much look at any team in the Western Conference, especially the Canadian teams, and there has been some form of historical beef with the Leafs.
Historical, sure, but, like, the people watching it right now that remember and care about it and are, you know, it's currently living in their memory, like, I'm talking, besides Nazem Kadri, like, I don't think there's anything on that team that really would get the Leafs fired up about a first-round matchup.
True. Many people don't remember the Leafs being in the Western Conference.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't know. You got to sell the game, and I think there's a way to do a better job of that than having these matchups so set in stone so early. Like... I don't know. I like what the PWHL did about gaining points once you're eliminated towards getting the first overall pick. But as was brought up to me. Yeah. Well, not picking your opponent, but once you're mathematically out, you're competing. Like, you accumulate points towards getting the first overall pick. Yeah. I like that because then at least once you're out, you're still trying for something. But I don't know. It does leave bad teams still bad.
Yeah, because they've been talking about that for a long time, and a couple different people have brought it up that that's a potential for the NHL to do, right? And then it was brought up, okay, well, if you're eliminated in March, then you can accumulate more points than if you're eliminated, or if you're eliminated in January, you can accumulate more points than if you're eliminated in March.
Yeah.
But I think it was going to be based on, like, everything would be weighted, so a win after you're eliminated in March would be worth more than a win after you're eliminated in January for, like, or something games like that. There's a whole mathematical equation for it, but
yeah, because it's silly on both sides. Like, for the teams that are in the playoffs to be like, okay, well, we know who we're playing, and the teams that are out to be like, well, what do these games for the next 2 months matter? Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's tank and draft for go for number one.
Yeah, it's not good for fans. It's not good for broadcasters, because you want people watching games. And if the last month and a half of the season literally doesn't matter, nobody's going to watch it, and your advertising revenue goes down. So,
yeah, look at NBA. Like, they had players sitting out for those type of games, and now they actually have a rule against that. So,
yeah, except for last weekend, that the Clippers complained that they played 22 hours after their previous game because of the time change. So. A bunch of the stars sad.
Oh my god. Typical.
James Harden didn't have enough time at the teaser club.
I am glad that the NBA implemented that they had to play a certain amount of games to be eligible for trophies at the end of the year. Because I think that's the thing that kept a lot of them playing.
Because those trophies really, really matter when it comes to contract negotiations. If you're on the first, the second, or third All-Star team, or if you make All-Defensive or All-Forward team, you make way more money than if you don't.
Oh yeah.
Like, it has a significant, like, value on it.
Could you imagine, like, we're in the last week of the season and Matthews wants to sit and they're like, you don't get the Rocket if you don't play these three games. They're like, what? It will go to the next person on the list if you don't play these games. We're going to
tally another $10 million on your contract for a couple of years. Like, it really makes a huge difference.
Exactly. Well, that's all I got. You guys got anything?
Nothing that can't wait.
We got
let the people find us a new good hat or hats.
Yes, please. and watch on YouTube if you want to see all the things we talk about. Appreciate it. Have a good night, everybody, and we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
Catch you
on the
flip.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Leafs Late Night, your night of post-game podcast. Available after every game on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audible, and more.
Hat on a hat on a hat.
Yeah, so my upload was shit.